We bring the love and the greetings from Pakuranga with us, and it's really lovely to be here. What I want to share with you this morning is I've been writing a book called Resisting the Devil, and so I've been having a lot of thoughts about temptation and how we overcome temptation. And what I want to share with you today is basically a chapter from this book. And it's entitled Pray for Each Other. I'm sort of basing it loosely on James, what we've just read. But, you know, we'll cover a whole lot of other chapters and examples before we actually come to James today. But I want to share with you how powerful prayer is, with our combined prayers are. That's what I want to share with you this morning. The first example I want to share with you is when our son Jeremy returned, he turned about 10. And he was having a birthday party, and all of a sudden, Sharon and I were in the house, and the kids were all at the park doing some games and climbing trees and stuff like that. Next thing, two kids burst through the front door, ran up to us, puffed and out of breath, bright red, Jeremy's hurt. And we got this impression that Jeremy had fallen out of a tree and was lying on his back and not moving. So, what had happened was that he climbed up a tree over the estuary. We live on the edge of the estuary. He climbed up this tree. He climbed out onto a rotten branch, out on the limb. All of a sudden, there was this crack. Before he had time to think or do anything, he found himself just lying flat on his back in the mud. So that was when the front door burst open and these friends came out rushing in. Jeremy's hurt. Apart from being winded and in shock and having this massive splinter through his hand, he was fine. It ruined the rest of his birthday party. But the point I want to make with this is that while Jeremy was climbing out on that limb, when he heard the crack, to the time that he was lying on his back in the mud, unable to breathe, unable to do anything, he couldn't do anything to help himself. He needed his friends. He needed those people to run to get help because he couldn't do anything. He had no time while he was falling to go, God, please help me, bear me up under angels' wings and let me fall safely without grazing my toes. You know, he didn't have the time to do that. He didn't have the thought capacity when he's lying on his back flat to go, you know, Mum and Dad, just come here for a minute because I've fallen out of a tree and I can't move. He needed his friends. And in the same way, when we are lying flat on our back with sin or with ill health or whatever it is, sometimes it's really difficult to pray. Sometimes it's really difficult for ourselves to come close to God or even to know what to ask. And I know when I was sick, well, and still recovering, but when I got sick a couple of years ago, my whole mental state was so confused that I didn't know what I needed to pray for. I didn't know what I needed. I needed other people to pray for me. See, none of us are an island when it comes to standing against sin. And it's really tempting, I know, to think we can do it by ourselves. But we can't. We can't do it by ourselves. That's why we're an ecclesia. That's why we need each other. And if anyone could have overcome temptation all by themselves, I can only think of one person that could have. And that one person was Jesus Christ. And you know what? Even he didn't do it alone. Come with me to Matthew 28. The scriptures talk about two real big times of testing for Jesus. And the first one was obviously in the desert when he was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness and the devil came and tempted him. And there were three temptations that we know of. But the second time was as he faced the cross in those last 24 hours. And you know, Jesus knew everything that was going to happen. And what fascinates me is that Jesus knew, for instance, that Peter was going to deny him three times. And you think of that in the whole context of that last 24 hours of Jesus. If Jesus knew that specific detail, and he knew the prophecies concerning himself, you imagine how much he knew about what he was going to go through in every little detail. Man, the pain beforehand must have been incredible, let alone the pain as he went through it. Anyway, he knew what he was going to go through. And he went out, he had the breaking of bread and the Last Supper, and he went out into the garden, and this was his last quiet time, the last time that he had to do anything. And in verse 36, sorry, chapter 28, verse, that can't be right, 26. I better fix that before it goes into the book. Chapter 26, verse 36. Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be troubled, and he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went with his disciples. He took Peter and James along with Peter and John along with him. And he said, "Stay here and keep watch with me." You see, Jesus was going into this last period of huge temptation, and he had to have his friends with him. He wanted his friends with him so that they could stay with him and pray with him. And unfortunately, they fell asleep. Verse 40. "Could you men not watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Watch and pray. Keep at it, guys. "I need you," is what our Savior was saying. He couldn't do it alone. And nor can we. Jesus needed someone close to him in his most severe time of testing. "Stay here and keep watch with me," he told them. He needed them there. He needed the strength of knowing they were supporting him. He needed his friends beside him. The company of people on the same team would give him the edge that he craved for. And it's no different for us. Whether we need friends like Jeremy's friends who call out for us when we have no strength to do it on our own, or whether we need the support of friends who understand what we're going through, or whether we, like Jesus, are having a spiritual fever in the garden and we're sweating it out and we need someone just to mop our brow and to help us through it and to comfort us, we need it. Check out what Paul said to Timothy. First Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, I think. Actually, it's another mistake. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Where he says this: "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, and love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." This is a really great verse when it comes to resisting temptation. It tells us to run away from those things, to pursue those things, but do it together. Together with those who are, who have a pure heart. We need to combine forces as we strive to live godly lives and flee from sin. We need to do it together. We need to stand shoulder to shoulder with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And of course, aside from Jesus, we're never going to find someone with a pure heart. But what we will find, if we look for them, even in this ecclesia here, what we will find are people who are wanting to overcome sin and live godly lives. We're going to find people who are able to help us and who we are able to help. Now, I've brought up the subject of overcoming temptation a lot of times in the last few years with a lot of different people in a lot of different occasions. And I've discovered three things. Firstly, people aren't used to talking about temptation. People don't seem to like talking about temptation. Secondly, we all struggle with the same stuff. And thirdly, we are all keen to do a little bit better and to hear how the experience of someone else can help us. So if we talked about it, we would discover that we're not actually the only ones struggling the way we struggle. If we talked about it, we may well find that someone's got some really good advice to help us. If we talked about our struggles, we would probably find that someone would be willing to pray for us and help us in our struggles in that way. Not only are those sort of things great ideas, but they're biblical. We need to walk together along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Together. We need each other. We need to pray for each other. And in some ways, doing this, actually bringing it up in conversation, can be one of the hardest steps to take. This is still really difficult for me to say, but I've struggled. I'm going to confess to you now. I've struggled. Amazing how people look up when you say that. I've struggled for years with pornography. And it's been a really hard struggle for me because it's an addictive sin. And it has this major pull that just everything else flies out the window. And that's one of the reasons I've really been looking at the subject of temptation. And it's been a secret sin. Yes, I've confessed it to God. I've confessed it over and over and over for years and years. But you know what? It wasn't until I actually confessed it to someone else that the healing began. One night, I said to Sharon, we'd come home from a course that we were doing, and I said to Sharon, there's something I really need to talk to you about. And I was scared. Tell you what, I was shaking in my shoes. I didn't know whether I'd have a marriage in the morning, you know, or that night. I didn't know where I'd be sleeping that night. And I said to her, you know, I've been really struggling with pornography. And we wept together and we prayed together pretty much the whole night long. And Sharon was so gracious to me. But it was that began the healing for me. We need to confess to each other. We need not just to confess to God, but to share our faults with each other. Have a look at the chapter we read in James. Because James puts it really simply, really bluntly, and really simply, I've said that already. He does it. James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? He should sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And when it says, is any one of you sick, he should call on the elders of the Lord, of the ecclesia, I believe that's more than just sick. It's not throwing up in the middle of the night. This is like really sick, spiritually sick, sick of sin. And the reason I think that is because of the next verse. Verse 15, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, and here's the crux of the matter, therefore, do this. Confess your sins to each other. And pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Skip down to the last verse. Remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. But you see, we can't do it unless we confess to each other. And I'll tell you what, it's the hardest thing ever to do. But it is so crucial if we want to grow to be like Jesus. It is so vitally important. Now, I just want to share with you something here that I think is really important about confession too. When you decide to confess your sins, unless it's your husband or wife or a close family member, confess them to a person of the same sex. Because you don't want to suddenly develop this relationship and add to your problems, especially if your sins are of a sexual nature. Confess them to another brother or another sister or someone else you can trust, but not to someone of the opposite sex. So having confessed, pray for each other. That's the next step. Jesus knew when he was coming up for his time of crucifixion that Peter was heading for a weak moment. With his arrest and crucifixion only hours away, Jesus knew that Peter would have a hard time keeping his faith strong. He knew that the denial, that Peter was going to deny him. And this is what Jesus said to him. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith would not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Even though Simon Peter didn't realize how fragile his faith was, And we don't realize how fragile our faith is until it suddenly crashes around us. Jesus prayed for him. That prayer was a saving power for Peter to keep his faith from crumbling right away after he'd denied his Lord. And if we're to follow Jesus' example, we need to pray for each other. We need to pray that our faith, that your faith, would not fail. And that we'd be healed from sin and that we'll be strong in the face of temptation. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Pass it on. If people have prayed for you, pray for people facing the same temptations that you've faced. Encourage them. Help them. Give them the benefit of your experience on the front lines. Encourage them to be able to call you when they're tempted. And that's one of those tools that God has given us, each one of us, to be able to help each other in their time of temptation. You see, our aim is to bind sin and take it captive and kick it out of our lives. And together we can do that. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And I tell you that if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask for, anything, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with you. So there you have two or three people gathered together, praying about something, and it will be done for you. And how much more when we're praying for release from sin? But it's not something we do alone, is it? When two or three come together. And knowing that we have someone praying for us just makes us feel so much stronger. I just want to illustrate the power of prayer, and probably some of you have heard this story before, but I used to work in a workshop, and I had a guy working for me who was horrible. And his name was Brian, and he was like, he would start, you know, late, he would finish early, he would push all the boundaries, he would talk to everyone around, he would spread bad stuff through the workshop, bad attitude through the workshop all the time. He would do the absolute minimum he could, or the maximum he could, depending on what was going to give me the most trouble. And he was just horrible. And no, it wasn't just me, but no one could stand him. He was just like really horrible to everyone. And at one stage, I was just getting like, I'd hit it up to here with him. And I was just looking for a way out. You know, how can I deal with this guy? And I had a Christian friend, and I said to him, I've just had it with Brian. I said, can you help me? I said, can you pray for Brian with me? And I sort of figured, well, you know, this is well beyond me. I need prayer. And I got my, it's a very good friend of mine, and we prayed for Brian together. And over the next month or so, we didn't hold hands in a little circle or anything like that. We just individually we prayed for Brian, and we had this concerted effort to pray for him. And Brian carried on being his horrible self, and you know, it felt like nothing could change him. And anyway, eventually, about a month later, someone walked into my office, and they went, "What's wrong with Brian?" Oh, no. What now? You know, what on earth has he done now? What's wrong with Brian? So I said, what's wrong with Brian? He was nice to me. Yeah, what? And it was really interesting, because three times that day, people came to me and said, something's wrong with Brian. He was nice to me, you know? It was really amazing. All of a sudden, his personality changed. And like, he never became nice, but and you know, he still had a long way to go. But God, through our prayers, and we never told Brian we were praying for him, but God made a huge difference in his heart and just changed his personality to the extent that we could all live with him. And it was just, I was just astounded by the power of prayer when two of us were praying together for this one person, and he didn't even know he was being prayed for. He didn't have a clue that God was working in his life. Probably still doesn't. But, you know, maybe, and I do keep praying for him every now and then. I keep praying, you know, maybe God will take him and change him completely, and I'll meet him in the kingdom one day. I don't know. We'll see. Be interesting. Might give us both a fright. The thing is, prayer is powerful and effective, and we need to pray for each other. We need to tell each other if we're struggling and what we're struggling with, so that our prayers, or the prayers you ask for, are effective. We need to ask people to regularly pray for each other, for us. And we need to be able to offer to help people in the same way. What I'd like to do now is just something slightly different. I'd just like you to spend a minute in silence and just bow your head. And I'd like you to spend 30 seconds praying for the person on that side of you. 30 seconds praying for the person on that side of you. Okay, I know it's not long, and I know we haven't had a confession time, so we don't know what to pray for, but I'd like you to just, you know, and if you haven't got someone on that side of you or that side of you, pray for someone in front or behind or whatever, but let's get everyone in the room covered with at least one or two prayers. So if you just bow your heads now, and then I will conclude with a prayer. Father, I pray that out of your glorious riches you would strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all your fullness. We pray that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to your honour and glory, and that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding, and that we might live a life worthy of you. Please look at us and count us worthy of your calling. By your power, may you fulfill every good purpose of ours and every act prompted by our faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus might be glorified. Please sanctify us through and through. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, our example, our mediator, our high priest, and our king, we ask this. Amen.